Hello, welcome back to Circulus, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons adventure. I am your DM for the evening, Aaron, sometimes referred to as Crash, and with me is a slightly smaller group of adventurers. Let's start with Akari. Akari, who are you playing today and where can we find you?
I am playing Vex Saran, the half-elf ranger. And you can find me on Twitter at Akari_Mag, or you can go to my podcast, which the website is azerothctc.com.
And next up, we have Tom. Tom, who are you playing, and where can we find you?
Well, I am playing Pankarum Darkstone, the gnome barbarian, and you can find me on Twitter at Bolthra. That's Bolthra.
And last but certainly not least, we have Matt, who has cast invisibility, so you cannot find him unless you crit your perception check. And even then, you'll be rolling attacks with disadvantage. Matt, who are you playing?
I am playing Aristobulus Ravenscroft, a human wizard, and you can find me in my living room.
Woo!
But if we do, you're probably going to get creeped out.
Probably, yes.
Call the police.
Yes, although... Well, if Tom finds you, you'll be a little less creeped out.
Yeah. He at least knows where I live, I hope.
Exactly.
You'd still wonder what he's doing there instead of where he lives, but never mind about that. We digress before we even get started. That takes skill, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. And Logan and Eric are somewhere. Maybe we'll see them. Maybe we won't. Probably won't. So let's... harken back to days of old, last week, when the party blundered their way through actually getting Orstrike opened. So those dwarves know that the zombie crisis has ended. They've opened their doors to the outside world again. They looked and saw the sun was really bright, and they were like, maybe we'll go outside tomorrow. They summarily thanked the party for everything they'd done and then showed them to the door, closed it behind them. And you're outside, and I want to say mid-morning light. There's no sign of the rain that you encountered when you were going into the mountains further south and west of here. But it makes sense that the rain clouds are on the other side of the mountains. And you are about a day's walk from Clear Spring, or what's left of it, what remains of it, and another day's walk from there to Coombridge Keep. I'm going to make an assumption at this point that you're going to start heading that way.
Yes.
That sounds like a safe assumption.
Like a safe idea.
Had anyone in Coombridge to just... backtrack a little further. Had anyone kind of sent us to come here, or we kind of did this on our own?
No, we were supposed to come here to actually open the gates, but we did it in a kind of backhanded way.
Kind of way?
Yeah, but we did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty.
Originally what had happened was the dwarves that are in Coombridge Keep asked Obane to take a message to the dwarves, and Logan has just logged in. Fantastic.
Poke.
Hey, Logan.
Poke.
Hey. So, how about, Logan, you introduce your character, because we just finished character introductions.
I am a Benix, a dragonborn paladin with no last name.
For now.
Until your dad shows up and says all your names in a row.
Or the kobolds give one.
Or the kobolds get one.
The kobolds have already given him one. He's Fennec's great one. Fennec's O great one, burner of straw men. They have a few more titles after that, but at that point, Fennec has lost interest and he is no longer listening to what they're saying.
And they get deeply personal.
All right, so... after character introductions, all I managed to go through were a little bit of backtracking. So, Logan, you have not missed much. So that's good. So what has happened is you were given a quest, sort of, kind of. It was given to Obame, where he was asked to deliver a letter to the dwarf stonemasons in Husan, so that they would send some people over to open up Orstrike. It didn't go as planned, but you got the end result that was desired.
Woo!
Plus or minus a few hundred dwarf lives.
You know what? That wasn't our fault.
Whoa.
And plus or minus one kobold cult that worships Fenix.
Yeah!
Jury's still out on if that's good or bad, but hey.
Oh, it's good.
I think the jury has convened and the foreman has handed a folded up piece of paper to the judge. They just haven't read it out loud yet. Okay, so on your walk from Orstrike towards Clear Spring, which you're not really eager to see what's happened to Clear Spring, but at the same time, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, and the main road goes right through there, so it would take more work to go around it. You do notice that there are some farms in the area that do seem to be populated. Not a whole lot. Your best guess is, like, anytime they try to do any kind of evacuation, there's always that
really stubborn family.
Yes. Sometimes there's an 80-year-old guy who's just like, you know what, I've been here my entire life, my pappy was here his entire life, and his pappy was here his entire life, and I'm going to stay here no matter what. And that is a tidal wave that is like 3 miles high coming right towards me. But you know what, I'm staying here anyway.
They took our gerbs.
They shake their walker at the tidal wave that's coming towards them. Like, get off my lawn!
Shake harder, boy!
I have no idea what you just said.
Shake harder, boy.
It was from The Simpsons. Shake harder, boy.
Okay. I missed that reference, and I feel bad.
Simpsons
now.
Jokes I get.
I get a lot of Simpsons jokes, but there are so many. Simpsons is dense.
There was a father and son, and they were angry fists, you know, and. Father's like, shake harder, boy! Never mind.
That voice was striking me as the Pepperidge Farm parody that they did. Do you remember Pepperidge Farm? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
I remember.
All right. Well, on that note, so there's a few farms that seem to be populated, but most of them, like, at this point, the fields should have at least been tilled, but they're not. There's some livestock that are kind of wandering and grazing, looking unattended. Sheep that look like they should have been shorn a while ago. But you do manage to make it all the way to Clear Spring in a day with no exciting events transpiring. Actually, that's a good question. Does an inspiring event transpire? Let's find out. Huh. So, I would like everyone in the party to give me a perception check.
Good lord.
I would like to check my boots for cow patties.
You Seven. Find one.
17.
18.
16.
Okay, so Ponk is... while Ponk is busy making use of a sharp rock that is he found alongside the road to clean his boots off a little bit, you become aware that you are being followed by somebody who is perhaps trying not to be seen by you, but their attempts to not be seen are making them more obvious.
He has chosen a rather obvious bit of cover.
If you see someone trying to hide behind a tree, but the tree is a sapling, so it's only like the trunk is like 3 inches thick, it makes it really obvious.
I'm going to gesture to whoever is nearest to me, try to get their attention, and point towards the area where I'm detecting someone trying not to be seen.
Oh, everyone sees this person.
Okay.
It's a person.
Yes. Okay. They appear to be a dwarf.
Who are you?
Oh, they are far enough away that you can see them, but if you shouted, you might not be heard by them.
Okay.
They are keeping their distance, but they're trying to make it look like they're not keeping their distance. They're trying to walk casual, but they're failing at it.
Fly casual.
their eyes are just looking back and forth at you.
Justice after them.
Can I send Shepherd towards them?
We never do anything with justice.
No. Justice on Shepherd.
I'm on board with this. I'm on board with this.
I'm on board with this.
Shepherds.
But here's the thing. Fenix, from you, I will need an animal handling check. Because you will have to convince Justice to use Shepherd as a mount.
Whereas my little people will just do whatever I tell them to do.
That's 21.
Okay, so Justice is on board with this and currently on board Shepherd. I'm assuming Shepherd has some sort of collar and Justice is using this as an anchor point.
I wasn't going to say Justice Shepherd had a collar, but sure, he has a collar.
Okay, well, otherwise we have to deal with claws going into Shepherd's back, and he might not be a happy little puppy about that.
No.
That would be bad.
That would be an eaten bird.
That would be the best case scenario, I think. But in any case, moving right along, Shepherd flies off. Not technically flying, but Shepherd does go off in leaps and bounds. And the flying thing is sort of... It's the appearance of flight rather than the actual flight, because every time Shepherd jumps, Justice opens his wings. So it looks... Every now and then, it kind of looks like Justice is carrying Shepherd instead of the other way around. And you know physics don't let that work. But part of your brain wants to believe it anyway, because it's really amusing. Give me a constitution save, everyone.
Let me see what my two dice.
14.
Let's see. Just 3.
1.
Oh, jeez. Wait, natural 1?
Yeah.
Honey.
Sorry. 17.
Oh, does Shepherd need it too?
Shepherd does not need it.
Okay.
How about Ari?
16.
Okay, so you're all kind of amused by this, but Fenix is on the ground in a fetal position, laughing as hard as he possibly can at this sight. You may or may not have cracked a rib from trying to hold it in. It feels like an actual side splitter. Congratulations, sir. You have never been more amused by Justice before. Okay, so you send Shepherd off. And he comes back, carrying the dwarf by his belt. This apparently seems to be a theme that Shepherd has picked up.
Yep.
It's only going to get worse, is your best guess, because he started with just bringing small things. Now he's bringing humanoids. Next thing you know, he's going to bring an ancient green dragon over by the tail. Like, hey, look what I found.
This worries me.
Bad dog. So,
while he's still holding him by the belt, I'm just going to say, can we help you?
Give me a perception check, everyone.
18.
14.
17.
One.
We can't have ones every roll. We can't have at least one every roll, guys.
No, no, I'm on board with this. I'm totally on board with this. I love this party right now. I really do. I need to check something real quick. Hold on.
Oh, God. When the DM has to check his notes, you get worried.
Who do I want to kill first?
Exactly.
No. If anyone dies here, it's not going to be
not going to be your fault.
So, Punk rolled the one.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you see basically a stereotypical gnome. It does appear to be wearing chainmail armor and have a generic helmet, and they have a beard that's sort of draping along the ground a little bit.
I thought it was a dwarf.
I meant dwarf. They appear to be a dwarf. I said gnome because I was thinking of Punk. Also, gnomes are awesome. Let's face it. Gnomes are awesome. I'm a gnomist, but in a good way.
Punt them all.
But the rest of you, I should probably roll for Obane. Obane sees a dwarf. The rest of you also see a dwarf, but you notice that this dwarf has a scaly green tail.
Say what now?
The dwarf has a scaly green tail.
Well, that's not normal.
It's looking very sheepish right now.
I would like to still say what I said. Can we help you?
I'm a stick.
What's wrong with you? Why are you following us?
Who says I was following you?
Because it was obvious.
Ask the wolf.
Well, just walking.
We'll go walk somewhere else.
I wonder how quickly Shepard could eat him. What do you think, Punk?
Do you say that out loud?
I say that as a question to Punk. What do you think?
I think about 3 bites.
The dwarf meeps.
Meep.
And starts to visibly tremble.
Why were you following us?
You know how a small child will act right before they break down? Where their face goes a little pale? And their bottom lip starts to quiver. And their eyes start to go a little wide. This is what you're seeing here. And then the dam breaks. And you all drown. No. I gotta prepare myself to do this properly. I'm probably gonna screw it up. I'm gonna try anyway. I'm so sorry, it's just that he was leaving and I didn't want to leave him. And basically, the best you can get out of it, sort of deciphering every third word or so, is that Fenix was leaving and everyone else was boring. And they didn't want to be left alone again. And it's really bright out here.
No.
And they didn't know where to go. So they just sort of... But they didn't want to let you know they were here.
They?
I'm using generic pronoun.
Oh, okay.
Is this Meepo?
In a bad disguise?
Would I notice the tail now?
You start to notice that there's something off here. when you say Meepo, the tirade stops and it just goes into little sniffles.
Oh dear God.
Meepo.
Yes?
You can't follow us. You need to stay with your people.
You're boring.
When you adopt a kitten.
No.
I told you not to feed her.
Honey, take off the dwarf skin. There's a sentence I never thought I'd ever say.
There's a shimmering and the image of a dwarf goes away and you just see Meepo.
Honey, you...
She can't stay.
No, I know she can. That's actually really impressive that she learned to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about.
The evil side of Punk is coming up with an idea how to use her, but...
We're not using her as bait for something.
I was going to say, does it start with a letter B and end with bait?
Ari, give me an Arcana check.
Okay. Ooh, that's really easy.
Go attack that dragon.
So that's a 20.
Okay, so the spell that was apparently being used was Disguise Self, which, as you know, and by you I mean Ari and Matt, it works okay, but it doesn't change body types very well, which is why you were clearly able to see the tail, because dwarves don't have those.
Yeah, doesn't hold up to investigation very well.
Which is why most of you saw.
Meepo, when you say we, you just mean yourself or other people too?
Meepo wasn't saying we. I was using a gender-neutral.
Generic. Yeah,
just because the dwarf is a male. She describes herself as a male dwarf, but she is not male. She was saying I.
Okay. Here's the thing. We can't just send her back because I don't think the dwarfs are going to let her back in. I don't know how she got out.
She looked like a dwarf and the dwarfs weren't paying attention.
I'm sorry, but the tail.
They had other things to worry about.
They all smelled kind of funny.
The dwarfs, honey, they all smell.
No, I mean like that bottle that the great one had.
Oh, yeah, that's alcohol. Don't drink that.
Yeah, don't.
It's very bad to steal Jobu's rum.
We can't just leave her here. And it's an entire day's walk back. Can't take her back. We have other stuff to do.
I'm not responsible for her. So if you decide to bring her along, it's fine, but I ain't watching her.
Oh, I wouldn't let you watch her, honey.
I'm afraid I must wash my hands of the matter, too.
Okay, Punches Pilot.
Why am I always watching the kid?
I'll watch up, me.
I take people out of Shepherd's mouth. And I
can watch myself. I'm this many.
I put her on Shepherd's back. Fingers. I know you are, honey. So she's riding Shepherd.
Shepherd prances.
Just stay close, honey. Okay.
Adjusts my shoulder.
When you say stay close, Meepo immediately hugs Shepherd closer. She may or may not be nuzzling.
I'll allow it.
Shepherd does not seem to mind.
I didn't think he would.
Okay, well, with that little happening out of the way, you do make it to Clear Spring. As Clear Spring becomes visible over the hill that's right before Clear Spring, you do see some smoke from fires. Apparently some of the Coomridge Guard have set up some type of station in the ruins. you can kind of in the distance see some patrols going out in various directions. They're very small. They're not fully manned patrols. They're more like in pairs. But you can kind of understand how they might be, you know, short-staffed at this point.
Before we get there, I want Meepo to change forms.
That would be a good call. The tail will still be visible. That's a problem.
Also, Ari can tell you that spell lasts 10 minutes.
Okay. Do we have, like, a blanket or something we could put over?
In fairness, these people have never seen a kobold. They might not react like, oh god, kill it, because, you know, dragonborn look vicious, but they're not.
Alright, I tried.
It's my dragonborn daughter.
This is a discussion part. This is where we're discussing things.
When Fennec says dragonborn daughter, Meepo's eyes just go wide. And she runs over and climbs up your back and perches. She's sort of half perched on your other shoulder.
In fairness, kobold are dragonkin, so.
Alright.
So I explain the situation to people. For now, if someone asks you, Fennec is your dad, okay?
She nods very vigorously. You're not entirely sure, but you think she smiles. She might also have something stuck in her teeth. You don't know which.
This is going to end poorly, but there's not much we can do.
You're playing Dungeons and Dragons in a campaign setting filled with zombies and an ancient green dragon.
With you as our DM.
Yes. If it doesn't end poorly, I've probably done something wrong. He says as he looks at a d20 that's rolled a 1. Which, by the way, was Meepo's stealth check.
Oh.
That's why I said it was very obvious that she was trying to sneak up.
I should have realized who it was when you said, I'm a stick.
See, there are some times where I am incredibly subtle, and I throw little bits in there for you to go, ah, if you go back and listen to something afterwards. And there's other times where I'm just trying to slap you upside the face with a clue. Okay, but on that note, you approach Clear Spring, and the guards recognize you from your heroic deeds, and they keep their distance from Fennec in general. Fennec, you've encountered this before, especially after it was revealed what the main villain was for the whole zombie curse thing. There were some that didn't mind because they knew how heroic you were in the battle, but there's others that were just like, dragonborn, and they got kind of racist about it. With actual races. But, yes. And they keep a wider berth when they notice that you also have Meepo doing her best impersonation of a parrot or monkey. Or a monkey parrot lizard thing. Also, her scale, kobolds come with a variety of color patterns. Meepo's happen to be green. So they don't like that very much. But you guys were heroes for the battle, so they don't hinder you in any way. You spend the night. Nothing happens. The next day, as you go in to Coomridge Keep, you get similar eyeballing treatment from the guards. Meepo is not as happy as she thought she'd be. You become aware that she's becoming aware that she may have made a horrible mistake. But she's not going to admit she made a horrible mistake. Because that would mean she was wrong. And she's not wrong. so she's not going to admit it, even though she's wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, so she's a bit more reserved than she was when she was in the Cobalt Cavern area. She hunkers down a bit more. She hangs her head a lot more, tries to be seen a lot less. Sometimes she's successful, sometimes she fails spectacularly. You're in the town of Coombridge Keep. Is there anything you do?
Well, we need to go speak to that dwarf to let him know that they're out.
Yeah.
It wasn't the steward that gave you this particular quest. It was the dwarven clerics who talked to Obame. So you can go to their church.
Mm-hmm.
And they are there, and they are very happy to get this news. And from what you gather from them, it means that probably in a few days, an emissary or two will stop by to see what needs to be done. Which is pretty much the same reaction you sort of got from them, where in a couple of days they were going to send some people over because they know there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and dwarven stonecraft is best repaired by dwarven stonemasons.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stonework to be repaired, not just the keep itself, not just the wall, but there were a bunch of houses that were damaged also. So that seems to be in order. Your deal for free room and board in the Blue Bucket Inn has expired at this point. Matter of fact, about 2 days ago was when Dib's coin pincher left with his caravan. So you've missed him. But at the time he left, that was when that deal for free room and board expired. But Pudge is still happy to give you a free night for everything you did.
Okay. We're all aware of Beepo that she's clearly not happy. Yes?
Yes.
Aye.
Particularly when it's bright out. But that's just even more so.
I want to kind of get everyone... we need to go back there anyway. Not particularly to Huson, but in that area. We need to take her back.
I'm game.
Punk already voted earlier.
Oh, I know your opinions on it.
Are you saying this while Meepo is within your shot?
Ideally, no.
Of course.
Would he be asking while Meepo's in your shot?
It is technically possible for you to do this with her not being in your shot, because you do have more than one room in the inn.
I'm also kind of hoping Shepard's distracting her.
Anytime you want Shepard to distract her, you're fairly certain, maybe 90% certain, that Shepard's doing a good job with that.
Success.
I'll glance over to see if Shepard's enjoying his new chew toy.
And its name is Meepo?
My thought was that you'd be like, in your various rooms, you would have Meepo and Shepard playing in one room, and then you would step out and talk in another.
Yeah.
That's probably more appropriate. Ari, as far as he's concerned, he likes being out adventuring. He also likes staying at home and reading books, but he learns more and experiments more when we're out in the field, as it were. And yeah, he's okay with going back out. He gets to try out all his spells, and hey, sometimes we find some really neat things out there. This wand of smiles has been very interesting.
Well, there's other stuff we need to do there anyway.
At the Cobalt area? The Huson?
Not Huson specifically. There's the gnome.
You hear a tapping on the glass.
The window?
Yes.
Aren't we on, like, the second floor?
Yes, you are.
I check for eyeballs.
You see two compound eyes staring through the window at you.
I open the window.
A clockwork beetle the size of your head comes in and sits on a table. And as you've seen it do before, it begins to spit out slowly with that
dot matrix printer.
It is a dot matrix printer. Yes. It spits out a message, depending on how you look at it, literally, which is basically a very tersely worded message from Fiddle Punch wondering where the heck you are. Because he has things to do.
Are we going to win a reply with this?
Don't we talk at it or something?
Now you're reading this as it's coming out. You haven't ripped it off yet. And I am abbreviating the verboseness of this message.
Oh, I have no doubt there's multiple obscenities in this.
No, it's entirely 100% kid friendly. But if I read this verbatim, there will be very few words that are under three syllables in length.
Punk will get lost.
Yeah.
It's Ari might be impressed. But it took several intelligence checks to write the letter. Let's put it that way. And a thesaurus.
Is there a way for us to reply with this?
Well, let's get to the end of the letter first.
Okay.
The letter concludes by saying, "While I've been sitting around twiddling my thumbs," and again, I'm paraphrasing, "I was able to take some readings at the inn itself, and I have discovered some things that you might find interesting, especially with that little mission that you gave me while you were completing the mission you did when you first met me."
I don't remember what we told him to do.
It wasn't you, it was Vex specifically.
Oh, Vex. Okay.
Yes.
Ain't no way to get us home.
Oh. But if you want more information on that, get your butts back to the Blast Radius Inn pronto.
That's why
that's where we're going anyway.
Are we able to keep the beetle, or is it going to try to fly away?
And the last bit of the page that comes out is actually a few short questions with blanks put after them for you to fill in.
Asking, what are the questions?
One, is your party still intact? Two, where did the beetle find you? Three, how many days do you think it will take to get to the Blast Radius Inn? Things like that.
So one, mostly. Two was where did it find us? Cambridge. Three, how many days? Oof. What, it was like 3 days to get there on horseback?
On horseback, if you push the horses, it's 1 day to get through the swamp. And after that, you weren't really pushing the horses, and it took about 3 days to get to the inn. But you don't have horses, so it would be 3 days to go through the swamp.
So tell him about a week.
Okay. Once you've filled it out, the beetle rolls the paper up in its pedipalps and flies back out through the window. It hits the windowsill twice and then eventually gets through the window and flies off.
I want to see if we could eventually get one of those beetles from Fiddle Punch sometime.
Although there's other things I want to try and maybe get from Fiddle Punch.
Yeah, because that would be useful to send messages.
Just to each other.
Yeah.
So it's agreed.
You hear a voice from the other side of the door. I can send messages.
Is it?
God damn it. All right. I open the door.
You don't see me, Bo.
Oh, what?
But the door felt like it pushed open a bit slower than usual.
Meepo.
I'm not here.
I try and pick her up because she's clearly sitting in front of the door.
She's actually clinging to the door on the other side of it.
Okay.
For a second there, I thought she'd been raiding my spell book.
Yeah, me too. I pick her up because she's clinging. Were you eavesdropping?
No, I wasn't listening to you talking to the clockwork beetle thing.
The fact that she knows what it is,
yeah,
is surprising.
You've seen these before, Meepo?
No.
Then how do you know what we were talking to?
She points at the comically large keyhole in the door.
We're going back to Husong, or at least near it. That's where your people are. Do you want to go back to them? You don't look happy, Meepo.
I miss my dad.
We'll take you home.
He's not there.
But the other, you'll be with your people.
They're not that fun.
Trust us, neither is what we do.
But you have adventures.
That we probably can die every single time.
Exactly.
She looks at Fenix and in a rare moment of clarity, she just says,
"We're kobolds. Die all the time." This isn't much worse than staying at home. But at least you guys are nice.
I'm not. Saying,
no, he's definitely not.
She sticks her tongue out at you.
You're saying that your people aren't nice to you?
Not really. You treat me like a little kid.
You are a kid, honey.
She starts to sniffle. Are you still holding her, by the way?
Yeah.
Punk's gonna get out.
Punk's going to what?
Punk's going to leave and go downstairs and get a drink.
Ari is curious to see how Vex handles this.
You're like that uncle.
Yep, he is.
And especially now that we've just had Thanksgiving in the United States, and I've spent a lot of time with family. You are totally that uncle. That uncle.
Meepo, I get that you want to be treated like an adult. You want to be seen as an adult. But you're 5, honey. You need time to actually develop in a safe environment. With us is not that kind of environment.
Yeah, I'm totally 5. Yeah, I'm 5. That's almost grown.
Did I write that down?
You realize that she's actually 4.
Oh, I wrote 5.
No, she's 4.
4, got it.
And to be fair, 6 is when a kobold's considered adult. So.
Yeah.
and she somehow at least can cast a spell. So...
Yeah, but do we really...
Might be...
More than one, in fact.
Because... Well, only the one we've seen.
Well, no, because you heard Vex complaining that he'd had friends cast on him.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Which I have been very nice about, by the way.
Ari has questions, but he's going to wait to discuss them with Meepo at a later time.
I look forward to that conversation.
You know what, Meepo? If you want to be treated and seen as an adult, I'm going to give you a choice here. An adult, grown-up decision.
She nods vigorously.
And I want you to think about the answer before you answer. I don't want to hear an answer now. I want to hear it when we get to the inn we're heading to. You have a choice.
There's more than one inn?
Yes, there's a few. You have a choice.
Is it as cool as this one?
No, nowhere near.
Oh.
You stay with us, but you won't be safe. Your life will be full of danger and peril, and you could die at any given opportunity. Or you return to your people. Where, yes, life might be a little bit boring, but you'll have a life. So that's the decision I want you to make. Not now, but the next time I ask you, I want you to make that choice, okay?
She nods. And she's doing the kobold equivalent of biting her tongue. If she was actually biting her tongue, it would be on the floor. So it's not quite the same thing. But you get the feeling that she really just wants to keep repeating what she's been saying. Like, she's already made this decision. But
yeah,
she nods and doesn't respond otherwise.
This is why I'm hoping we get a fight on the way there. What time is it?
You were having this conversation after sundown in the inn.
Should we head out tomorrow?
No time like the present. I'm sure Ponk's ready to leave.
You're back.
We can leave now. That works.
At night?
Well, that's why I said tomorrow. Then you said no time like the present.
Well, no, I meant tomorrow's fine to me.
Oh.
I'm okay with staying, sleeping in a nice warm bed one extra night.
There's no time like the present or the future.
Yeah. I mean, traveling at night is much more difficult, is it not?
You're the ranger.
Easier to be ambushed? Or that sort of thing?
Also, there's the question of whether or not the party wants to acquire transportation.
Right. Which we aren't going to be able to do at night.
No, it would be on foot if we go at night. We'll deal with it in the morning. We need to get those horses back that we left at the inn. No, we left them at Husson, didn't we?
Yeah, Jesus. You. I'm going to assume you dismounted outside of Husson. Because if you rode them into Husson, which the doors were large enough to do so, they're probably kobold meat.
They're probably kobold meat, even if we left them outside.
They're kobold stew.
Yeah, you would not have been eaten because kobolds have this thing against eating talking meat. But horses don't talk.
Our horses are dead. Let's go to bed.
They're gone.
Best case scenario, they ran off and they're somewhere in the woods.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
I'm good with that. Let's hit the sack and leave in the morning.
Okay. Roll for initiative and give me an attack roll on the sack.
On the what?
Never mind.
I think he actually rolled there.
The bed is a mimic.
Of course.
Okay, so dawn breaks. Obeim cast mending. He says, I finally got a chance to use it, Dagnabbit.
On what?
The dawn, it broke.
Alright, so there is more than one option in town for where you might be able to acquire transportation.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what do you think would be the best choice? You did spend all winter here, except for the parts where you were out in the woods. So in other words, Vex has no idea what's going on in town. But the rest of you know that on the outskirts of town, closer to the inner wall, where on the other side of the wall are a bunch of farms, there are various stables where people try to sell horses that are bred in the farms and then brought to town. The guards also have a stable they maintain that where they may or may not be amicable for parting with horses with a donation to the city coffers. Or you could go out into the farmland, and not a full day's walk into the farmland, but the farms that are really close to Coomeridge, you might be able to travel to one of those farms and see if they'd be willing to part with a horse or two.
We need five. We'd probably have to make a lot of stops at various farms before we got enough horses. And even the guards might be a little like, how many do you need? No.
I feel like we're just going to lose these horses like we did the last one. Not good at this. Yeah.
And how much are these horses going to set us back?
The last ones were quite expensive.
The last ones were free.
Oh, no, so they were. Yeah, I'm thinking of the wrong game.
But where do we get? Not entirely sure that, hey, here, have some free horses was a lifetime thing for you. It was a lifetime thing for the horse, and that has already expired by your best guesstimate.
Where did we acquire those horses that are now not horses?
I'm leaving you to do the talking for that one, then.
I could probably swing it. However, I just need... the player doesn't remember where those horses were acquired. Were they acquired at Coomeridge, or were they acquired elsewhere?
They Coomeridge. Were acquired in Coomeridge. They were given to you by the guards, but looking at the horses, you don't think they were horses that were maintained by the guards. It was more along the lines of the people who used to own those horses didn't need them anymore after the whole zombie thing.
Got it. All right. And the guards still may not be our best bet, however, seeing as we didn't return the ones we had. However, they weren't necessarily the best horses.
Maybe old Bob would know a way to get us some horses for inexpensive prices.
Unfortunately, old Bob is with Dibs Coin Pincher.
Yeah, he left with
horses.
Rats. I take over his criminal empire.
You acquire 3 copper pieces and a banana peel.
Woohoo! I'm a kingpin.
Who did the negotiating for those horses with the guards?
There was no negotiation. They knew that you were leaving, and they brought you some horses.
Got it. Then I say we try the guards. At least, if nothing else, they did lose horses to us, essentially, they didn't lose anything of real value. So hopefully this time we can maybe score something with them.
Hey, more slaves matter.
I'm sure they do to the kobolds who ate them.
Okay, so it's not that long a walk to the stables that are maintained by the guards. You know that you're approaching it because the smell of manure is quite flavorful.
Lovely.
Part of town. And the sounds are wonderful as well. The guards see you coming, and one of them comes out to greet you. He is wearing a tabard that he appears to be a lieutenant. You recognize him as the guard who helped you at the beginning of all this, the one where it was his first day. He's now a lieutenant.
They use him up fast.
He has character development.
When you wipe out
Battlefield
everyone above
promotions.
You. Yeah. Battlefield promotions.
Yeah, there were vacancies that needed to be filled.
Yep. Hey, you didn't die. You're promoted.
Hey, you didn't die when the other guy who I said didn't die died. You're taking his spot. Could I actually just stand next to the spot?
How they did.
His boots are still smoking.
Yeah. Isn't that how they did it in Starship Troopers?
Pretty much.
I have yet to see that movie. But that's another story.
Only watch the first one, not the sequels they've made over the past 20-something years.
They made sequels?
Yeah.
I felt that way about Sharknado, but never mind about that.
That didn't need a one, never made a five.
No, there are some movies where they are made to be bad. The goal is to someday have that movie featured on Mystery Science Theater 3000. And that explains Sharknado. But the guard comes out and greets you. He's happy to see that you're doing well. He pointedly, and it's so obvious, does not look in Fenix's direction at all after the first time he looks, and then does a double take because it looks like Fenix has two heads, one gold and one green, because Meepo's still hanging on his back. And he's like, okay, I'm not dealing with that today. It's not 5 o'clock yet. I'm not dealing with this. And he asks what he can do for you.
Do we know his name off the top of our heads? Anybody remember his name? Did he have a name?
Checking my notes.
I don't have him in my notes, although that was a while ago.
I don't remember if I gave him a name.
I don't think you gave him a name. He was just, hey, it's my first day.
Yeah.
Not knowing his name.
No name.
I'm going to say his name is Eric.
Oh.
E-R-I-C. Not K.
Nice.
Eric. First day guard.
I am making the same
mistake.
His last
name is Carson.
Carson, you said?
Eric, yes. Carson.
Ari will greet him. Good morning, Lieutenant Carson.
He stands just a bit straighter when you say his rank. Like every now and then, he forgets that he's become a lieutenant.
He sounds like a police officer, Lieutenant Carson.
The city guard is not far from that, actually. Yeah. There's sort of a Swiss Army knife of utility positions. They're the fire brigade, they're the city watch, they're the armed forces for invasion, they're the paramedics.
After a fashion.
Yeah. Well, a paramedic is not a doctor. In this case, the doctors would be the clerics. So their job is to make sure you live long enough to get to the clerics.
Get to the clerics. In some cases, carry you to the cleric.
Or carry the cleric to you, depending on the size of the cleric.
Yes. We find ourselves in need of transportation. You see Fenix over here. He's acquired a companion. We need to return her to her people. And as such, we need to traverse the swamps and roads to the Blast Radius Inn and if you perhaps could see your way to helping us acquire some transportation, that would be wonderful.
How many horses do you need?
How many of those are there? Five?
Five.
We would need five.
Oh, thank goodness. He waves you in, and as you go into the stables, they are packed. You don't think they could fit more horses in here. There are some horses that are in like between the stalls. There's some horses that are sort of tethered to the support beams for the center aisle.
Is this a result of a bumper crop, perhaps?
Lots of dead people.
So you wouldn't have a problem if we just took a couple of horses off your hands.
We're having trouble getting enough fodder to keep them alive. Yes.
All right.
It would be good for the horses if you could care for some of them. Would you like more than five? Would you like six? Would you like one to carry your gear?
That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea.
We could take a sixth so Meeple has one and it can carry the gear as well.
Would you like one for your wolf?
Shepherd does not need a horse.
We have a pony that would probably ride Shepherd.
Shepherd does not need to be a horse.
He was... Wasn't he, like, this big before?
It's been months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess it has been. Okay, well...
Time flies when you're killing the undead.
Yeah.
So, how many horses did you want?
Six.
Okay, so you can very easily get six, and these are not war horses, but they are bred for farm work, so these are not small animals. Fenix and Ari are quite tall, so they can get on them with a bit of a leg up. They can do it.
Vex is six too.
Okay, so the three of you can do it with a bit of effort. You can get onto these horses. Ponk and Obame can walk under these horses without their heads touching the horse bellies.
Ponk, don't hit me. You want me to lift you onto the horse?
Don't touch me. I'll climb up the saddle.
Give me a dexterity athletics, acrobatics check.
Acrobatics?
Yes.
And while he's doing that, I help Obi up under the horse.
16.
Okay, so you manage to climb up the saddle, because the stirrup is right there, so you're able to use that as a handhold to get up to the pommel, to get up on top. It's not the most... How do I put this? There have been more elegant methods of doing it. But you got the job done. There was one point where Vex didn't really want you to see he was doing it, but he sort of moved to the other side of the horse because you were kind of starting to lean over that way a bit too much. Like you were going to be climbing over the horse instead of climbing up onto the horse. But he didn't get too close. But he was there in case he needed to get too close. But you're
there. But I'm able to reach the reins and be able to pull them.
Yeah, the reins are long enough, you can reach them just fine. Your legs do not reach the stirrups.
That's fine. Take my chances.
Neither do Obames, actually. This is fine for normal travel. If you are doing anything that ends up requiring an animal handling check, you will be doing it at disadvantage because you're not sure the horse will notice you.
That's
maybe
fine.
If you rage. I just gave you a horrible idea.
Oh, you're dead. Why would you tell him that? Okay.
Yeah. I like it.
Let's head out. Let's get there as quick as we can.
Okay, do you push the horses for your trip to the swamp?
I'd say let's not through the swamp. Yeah, let's not push the horses.
Yeah.
You still have it. It's still a clear roadway, so it's not like you're. When I say traveling through the swamp, remember you're not actually going through water. It's a raised walkway through the entire trip.
Yeah, but if you remember, I want to actually write something so people can see that this isn't all fun and games.
Okay. Now, as you are traveling through the swamp on day one, you do see some patrols that go past, going both directions. These are not full patrols. Again, they're mostly pairs of guards.
Coomeridge guards.
Yes.
Okay.
This road was always, from what you've been told, patrolled by Coomeridge guards when it's not snowed in. Igor's Gate citizens were happy to stay on their side of the wall. This road, as far as they were concerned, was part of Coomeridge. Because if it had zombies in it, they didn't really care for it, oddly enough.
Understandable.
Now, because you are keeping an eye out for it, I'm going to say that partway through day one of your travels, you do encounter a zombie slowly walking towards the road through the muck. If you stop and wait for it, it will eventually get to the road while you're there, but if you keep going, it'll get to the road. Your best guess is 3 hours after you've left.
How is there zombies? We solved that.
No, the zombies still exist. They just won't come back.
Yeah. You stop new zombies from occurring, but anything that was already animated stayed animated. And people who control the swamp stay on the road.
He's a straggler.
All right, just
I'd
clarification.
Say it's not worth it. It's just a zombie. And to be honest, we'd probably one-shot it, and she'd be, oh, very cool. We don't want that.
I think it's time for Meepo to get her first kill. You wanted her to learn.
I want her to learn to be scared of the outside world and just live with her people, not learn actually.
Leave I thought she's completely defenseless.
I'll say in Elvish that we could teach her that it is pretty boring out here on the road, too.
It's true. Let's
Meepo's uses a sling, not a slingshot, a sling, to hurl a rock at the zombie that's walking towards you. The rock bounces off the zombie's head, and it falls backwards into the water.
Good girl.
I thought you didn't like her.
He doesn't.
I don't.
It was not a killing blow. The zombie is struggling to get back up again. But the mud is sort of sucking it in a little bit.
Meepo, you got a double tap.
She doesn't know what that means, but she nods anyway.
Just go grab a stick and go bash its brains in.
She hits
then it won't
again.
Get up again.
Use that sling. Use that sling.
It was just starting to get up out of the water, and now its head's gone under again. That was two headshots in a row. Neither of these was a killing blow. Because, let's face it, it's a sling. It's 1d4. But,
Meepo, I think I need to show you a couple of tricks.
I shoot an arrow into its head.
Give me an attack roll.
Natural 20.
Oh, God.
Its head explodes.
Pew! That was a wasted natural 20.
Can I have one of those?
No.
You couldn't pull the bow, honey. But maybe I should show you...
We might need that arrow back. So.
Maybe I'll show you a trick or two, Meepo.
Okay, so the zombie's dead, and Meepo is not falling for your go and get the arrow routine.
In the swampy water.
And she's learning. I'm helping her out.
She does not have a negative modifier for her intelligence score.
If she looks at it as an experience, it hasn't gone to waste.
Exactly. She's getting XP.
Lesson one, don't listen to Punk.
Exactly.
He's not a nice person.
How long is our trip from here to the blast radius in? A couple of days?
Within a week.
Within a week, okay. Then I definitely want to talk to Meepo during our journey. Especially, okay. Say, when we're setting up camp.
Okay. Well, you don't encounter any other zombies. This road, especially this close to Coombridge, is very heavily patrolled. And any time they encounter a zombie at this point, they are turning them into pincushions until they don't move anymore. Because they know that there's actually an end to this, so let's have one. So, first night, you set up camp in a nice dry spot. It's actually a bit of a hill where the road goes through it, but there's a wider area that you can camp on that's not just the middle of the road. So what do you ask Meepo, and how do you ask her?
Okay. Meepo. I saw you try to disguise yourself as a dwarf. You've also enchanted Vex. Clearly, you've got some talent in the arcane arts. My question is, how did you learn to do these things?
My dad taught me.
What else did he teach you?
Give me a moment here.
Looking at our spell sheet.
Yeah.
Actually, I need to make a decision.
Scary.
I have a feeling she's been studying Arcana for Idiots, and I'm going to hopefully expand upon that education, but...
The Arcana for Lesser Idiots.
Clearly she's got a brain in that head.
She reaches out and tentatively touches your robe. And you've been traveling through the swamp. You've been on horses, but it's not exactly the most clean experience. But your robe becomes spotless.
And I have the same... is she dirty as well? Assuming she's got road dust, etc.
No, she does not.
Okay.
She's a kobold. They're always filthy.
Not necessarily, if she's been bathing properly.
Actually...
Now...
Give me... I don't want to keep doing perception checks, but give me a perception check. I think that's the best fit.
Okay. 16. Oh, yeah, 16. Sorry.
You don't really recall her ever being dirty.
Okay.
She's doing that on herself all the time.
So, I watched her do this. Did her fingers make any motions? Did her mouth make movements?
She mumbled, and she did move one hand while the other hand was touching your robe, yes.
Okay. So, I'm going to try to teach you something, Meepo, and see if you can follow along. And what I will do is I will essentially cast Magic Missile and shoot at a tree branch, a bush, something to that effect.
Attack the darkness.
Yes.
Where's the gazebo?
Okay, so we're at episode 15, and we finally attacked the darkness. Now all we just need is a gazebo, and we have achieved D&D bingo.
And I will very carefully enunciate and kind of take my time with the gestures... to see how well she could mimic that. And maybe she can't.
She watches you do that. And And she looks at where the tree got hit. And she puts her head down, closes her eyes, does the caricature of someone trying to think hard. She saw someone else do it that way, so clearly that's what you do when you think hard. She is... If she was uttering the word think, she'd be Winnie the Pooh at this point. One second. She casts magic missile, attacks the darkness, and a tree explodes.
I'm guessing we all see this.
It's kind of hard to miss. The shrapnel's raining down around you.
Very good, Meepo.
Shepard runs off, brings back a stick. He brings it to Meepo.
Now, Meepo, that's a stick. You're not a stick.
He doesn't get to carry me anymore?
No, he'll still carry you, but you're a person. You're not a stick.
Oh, okay.
At which point can I pull something out of the bag of tricks?
Sure.
She is...
You pull out seven. A mimic.
I pulled out a lion.
Meepo squeaks and runs and hides behind Fenix.
Can I tell the lion to just patrol the area while we rest? Just to make sure we're safe.
It is under your command.
Okay.
As the lion walks around the camp, Meepo sort of crawls around Fenix so that Fenix is always between her and the lion.
Doesn't say how long the lion stays for, by the way.
Until dawn.
Until dawn, okay.
Yeah, that's when you get your charges back, and that is when anything summoned goes away.
Until dawn, sponsored.
Creature vanishes at the next dawn or when it reaches 0 hit points. Okay, yep.
Okay. Player has sort of a question at this point. Sorcery versus wizardry. Clearly, she didn't follow it out of a book, which is what I do. How is this viewed? Is there a major difference?
The spellcasting is very similar, from my understanding. Most of the classes that I've played historically have not been spellcasters, so this is an area that the DM is weak in, to be honest. My understanding is and this is what I've gotten from hearing interviews from people who are Wizards of the Coast employees. Even amongst wizards from the same school, how one person casts a fireball might not be exactly the same as how someone else casts a fireball. You might say Leviosa, while someone else might say Leviosa. And then someone gets levitated instead of bursts into flames. And you wonder what's up with that. So she didn't say it exactly the way you said it.
Right.
But she was mimicking you in some way, and she managed to do what you did.
That's fine. More of what I'm questioning is kind of a cultural thing. This is going to vary world to world. Wizards sometimes look down on sorcerers. Sorcerers sometimes see themselves as superior to wizards because of their...
You're looking at how your character would see this.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, because I went to wizard school... What would be the norm prejudice, if there is any? And sometimes there might not be. You know, they might be, you do magic. We don't care. Clearly, she's traditionally sorcery, in her case, would be because she's of dragon origin and that she's channeling it through her dragon blood. I'm not sure that is how kobolds are actually done here. But that's what I'm trying to find out or figure out.
Well, so far as your character's concerned, since you, Matt, were responsible for your character's backstory, and pretty much the town that you're from and the wizard school that you went to are part of your backstory, It's totally up to you how you choose to view sorcery.
Okay.
And how you choose to have people from where you're from view sorcery, whether or not you agree with them. Circulus is a large enough place with enough different kinds of cultures that in some places they're sort of seen as equals. In some places, sorcerers are seen as better because they don't have to study forever to learn something.
Right.
In other places, wizards are seen better. In some places, it doesn't matter. In some places, you're all witches. We're going to burn you because you weigh as much as a duck. So I'm sorry I'm not answering your question, but it's because I can't answer your question.
And that's okay. I don't want to step on toes, though. And if you're okay with me coming up with how that is, I'm okay with that, too. But I don't want to spout stuff that you're like, no, that's not how it is.
Okay. Oh, sure, certainly. But especially when it comes to stuff that's that relates directly to your backstory, I'm going to go with the yes and philosophy of improv.
Okay. I just want to make sure before I start, you know, laying down what might be canon later.
Oh, certainly.
Okay. All right. Let's
just say a wizard did it.
Right. To answer my own question, then, from where he comes from, magic is magic. They don't care how you use it. But the wizard school that he went to does tend to look down on sorcery. And so he's more of a product of kind of two different environments. Growing up, it was, hey, you can do magic. Great. Let me use you for whatever criminal exploits I have, versus then going to school and being like, oh, those people. Yeah, we don't handle those people.
There you go.
Okay. So then Ari would be very congratulatory towards Meepo, praising her. Good job. Good job. You did that so well.
She beams.
Perhaps, Meepo, I can teach you some other things.
I don't know how much I can remember at once.
Not to worry, I won't try to tax your brain too much. But for now, try, if you see a creature, an enemy, or someone that Vex says we should attack, or Punk perhaps, try to duplicate what I did. And this way you don't have to rely on the inaccuracy of a sling.
She nods vigorously again.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
I have a minion.
You're going to have to share with Fenix.
That's okay.
Okay, so the rest of the night is uneventful. You do wake up to find that the lion has killed two zombies. You don't think the lion killed them at the camp. You think the lion spotted them off in the distance and drug them back and sort of left them at the edge of the camp the same way a cat will leave small birds outside your front door.
You guys can't hunt. Here, I brought you food.
Yes, exactly. Look, you don't have fur.
You don't have claws.
Yeah, what are you good for? Look, here, this is how you do it. But then dawn breaks and the lion disappears. It was in the middle of its tirade against your inequities when it vanishes. Day two progresses very similar to day one. You see fewer guards. Most of the patrols are very close to town, but there's still a few that you pass along the way. Every now and then you see a zombie. You can choose to do something about it, or you can choose to avoid them, because most of the zombies you encounter are not close enough to the road that you have to worry about it. You can very easily outwalk them. And you're on horses, so walking isn't even an issue. Day three, you see even fewer guards. But there is a small station of guards, maybe two full patrols, that have set up camp in Gore's Gate proper. They mostly seem to be doing a burying detail. They enjoy that as much as you think they would enjoy it. you say anything to the guards, or they've obviously seen you coming.
Personally, I wouldn't want to interrupt their ceremony. Let them do what they're gonna do.
There's very little ceremony. It's basically just digging muddy holes in the ground and putting the bodies in. When it's an entire town of people who have been sitting there all winter, and some of them have been gone over by various monsters and such, you don't stop to say prayers for each one. Matter of fact, they look pretty haggard.
Still don't think that's really a...
Nah. See ya.
It's not a rude see ya, it's more of a... We've got somebody waiting for us that's been waiting there for possibly weeks. Yeah. We don't actually know how long we were underground for.
Just the way you look at an accident on the road, you maybe glance at it and you keep going.
Okay. They stop what they're doing as you go past, and their eyes just sort of like follow you. Their heads turn slowly as you go past. No one says anything. Someone coughs.
It's awkward as hell.
Yes. That is exactly the mood that I was trying to convey.
The others can feel free to talk to them. Punk doesn't care.
Shepard whimpers a little bit. Well, no one's told him he's a good boy in the past 30 seconds. That's forever.
Nope.
Okay, so you go through what's left of Gore's Gate, and you take the long road, and on the long road, it's 3 days' journey if you don't push the horses. On the first day, if I remember correctly, the first day was when you encountered the murdered gnolls that were nailed to trees. So you come up to that spot, and the gnolls are not there anymore. The various things that were used to attach them to the trees are still there. And from the looks of it, the bodies were ripped off the trees. They weren't so much taken down as they were torn down.
Somebody looking for parts? Like a necromancer?
Your guess would be as good as anyone else's.
Odd behavior, but...
Yeah.
Do we want to investigate that closer?
Maybe they stunk. That's why they took them down.
That's a possibility.
I think you might be reading way too much into it.
I know, but he says things and you're right.
At this point, if I said someone was wearing a red shirt, we could probably have a 15-minute discussion about why.
Yep.
Yeah. They could wear it,
and it could have a picture of a fish on the shirt.
And the fish was drawn like this.
Yeah.
I want to check to see what kind of tracks are around it, just to see who it looks
That's
like.
That's your area of expertise, my man. It's not going to take us that much of a detour to check that out.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, give me a survival check.
Okay.
This is the we have 3 days' journey, and this is day one, correct?
Three remaining days.
Are we in a forest?
They were nailed to trees. This particular road, everything north of it is lush forest. Everything south of it was once forest, but it's now just rocky hills.
So stand on the north side.
I get advantage.
Well, they were nailed to trees on the north side, so yes.
It's 2 17s plus 5. No, 4 for survival, so 21.
Okay. There are a variety of tracks. This is called the Long Road for a reason. It basically goes through the majority of the whole continent of Circulus. So It is traveled by merchants, caravans, troops, emissaries, all kinds of people. So in that regard, you see mostly hoof prints on the road. A significant number of boots of various sizes for various races. Over by the trees themselves, because many of them are off the road significantly, you see far fewer tracks. You see boot prints. You can't tell just from looking at the boots exactly what race was wearing them or where they're from, but they were wearing boots and they were at least human sized.
Okay. Probably took them down because they stunk.
Probably.
But at least we know.
Yeah.
Not for something creepy and, you know.
Necromanty?
Yeah, necromanty. That's the word I was looking for. Shall
the
we
forest
continue?
Is a mimic.
You can't say romantic without necromantic.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, you can. Yes,
I totally
you can. And you
oh
should.
On that,
that
note,
is wrong
we continue
on multiple
on our
levels.
Way.
So, Punk, a rock falls from the clear blue sky. It doesn't hit you. It lands next to you. And it wouldn't have been enough to kill you. It's just, it seems like the rock was a message.
Last warning shot.
He will look up at the sky and flip it off.
A pebble bounces off of your gray bulbous nose.
Bring it on.
Don't taunt the DM,
a slightly
bro.
Larger pebble bounces off your forehead.
DM versus Punk.
He's not going to back off. You might as well just kill him.
A big sword Fenix? Goes through Punk's chest.
Fenix, you notice that Meepo's been playing with her sling.
There you go.
She's riding with you. That's why you've noticed. Don't assume mystical origins when there's a very plausible Occam's razor type situation going on.
And he can remove the razor from her.
Probably using a razor.
Shall we continue on the path?
It might be best to be called.
Before Punk kills us.
Yes.
I'm assuming this is happening while you're traveling. This is not your cause. You've been on the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
As we're traveling, Ari will try to lay down some basic arcana principles if he can, kind of giving her the arcana for idiots.
Okay.
A crash course on magic.
Okay, let me check something here. Okay, Meepo gets about half of what you're trying to say.
And I will try to dumb it down as best as I can for her.
Oh yeah, with you dumbing it down, she absorbs about half of it. And the half of it that she absorbs, when she tries to regurgitate it back at you, she mispronounces.
Yeah,
but still,
we're getting, we're making headway. Yeah, we're making some headway.
She's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the bad Latin in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
More or less.
But hey,
okay.
She's getting it. She's getting there.
Okay. On the night of day two, so your second night on the long road, you do see some torches off in the distance. They're too far out for you to really make out what's going on. They're traveling in a relatively straight direction. And you're assuming they're torches. They're far enough away that they could be lanterns. They could be somebody casting fairy fire for all you know. But they're light sources off in the distance. Oh, I'm sorry. To the south of you. They're not in the woods.
I would say send our drone, otherwise known as Justice.
Not a bad call.
It's nighttime. Justice would be next to useless because his eyesight is really geared for high detail, which means he has like zero night vision. In twilight, he's blind.
Okay. Well, I'm not going over there to look. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, well, we're camping, right?
We're camping.
Yeah. So, you could send
might not have noticed them if it hadn't been nighttime.
You could send Shepard if you wanted to.
Well, Shepard and I can go alone, and we can still count it. I still get, like, stealth advantage, even if Shepard's there and stuff, so we can check it out.
Okay, well, first give me a survival check.
Okay. Are we still in the forest, yes?
No, this is rocky hillsides.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we left the forest.
That's still a 22.
Okay, so you're able to navigate this countryside. Yes, you have dark vision, so you are capable of seeing what's going on, but it's still these are not rolling hills. Some of these are very jagged outcroppings, and some of the distances are slightly further than you're comfortable jumping. So you do have to go around a lot of things. But you're able to navigate this fairly okay. Give me a stealth check.
Alright, both of us. Right, so that's a 21 for me. 15 for Shepard. Well, 10.
Okay, so Shepard steps on a twig. And you hear someone go, "What? Who's there?" "Erg, go check it out." "Okay." And you hear some fairly large footsteps heading in your direction.
Okay. I've got my dagger out and my scimitar out, and Shepard's ready to pounce, so if he gets too close.
Okay, so around a fairly large outcropping of rock with a very scraggly, almost bonsai-ish tree growing on part of it, around this steps an ogre. And it's a very stereotypical older. It's wearing pants. It's not wearing a dirty loincloth. So that's good, at least. Its boots are more like leather strips that are wrapped around its feet. And is carrying a very large club with spikes that are... The spikes, you realize, are not actually spikes. Basically, it ripped up a tree and broke off some of the branches. And it's using that as a club. And as it comes around this large rock that you were hiding behind, it sees Shepard and goes, "Puppy!" And it starts going towards Shepard.
Shepard jumps, and I go with the scimitar in him.
Okay, so I think it's time for some initiative rolling.
Do I get a surprise attack?
It was investigating because it heard Shepard.
20.
So it knew something was there.
Oh, Logan, I think it's just me that's there.
Yeah, he went off by himself.
Well, I have a pre-initiative roll, what up?
thank God. It's initiative plus 3, that's a 22. I have advantage on initiative, I rolled a 2 and a 19.
Okay, so I have put the initiative together. I'm going to drag this chart over here so I can actually see it better. All right, so you go first.
Okay, wonderful. Shepard's going to go straight for him and take a bite attack. I'm right next to Shepard, aren't I?
You were traveling together, so I'm assuming so, yes.
Sweet, so he gets advantage. Natural 20 for Shepard.
Okay. That's obviously going to hit, so give me some damage.
It's going to hurt, too.
So I just roll the dice and double it?
No, you roll double the dice.
Yeah, you roll double the dice, and you add the damage modifier once.
Okay. So that's that's literally a 1, 2, 3, 4 on the d4s.
You rolled average.
So 10 plus his modifier of 5, 15 piercing damage, and has to succeed a DC 11 strength saving throw.
I rolled a 19.
Okay.
Shepard bounces.
Still 15 points of damage.
The ogre giggles. Which from an ogre is like...
I go with the scimitar because I'm in melee range.
Your scimitar is glowing.
Mm-hmm. That is a 16 to hit.
A 16 hits.
Ooh. That's a d6. Yeah. That's 6 points of... I think that's piercing. Scimitar, double check. 6 points of slashing damage. And then I'll go for an offhand strike with the dagger. Which is a 24 to hit.
That's a hit.
And that's... I do more with the bloody dagger. That's 8 points of piercing damage. And is how far away from the group am I?
How is it 8 points of damage? I thought a dagger was d4.
Oh yes, offhand, Brimfield. I don't add the modifier, so that's 4 points of damage then.
Okay.
How far away from the group am I?
You're maybe an hour's stealthy walk.
We don't even hear you.
Yeah.
Lassie, okay. Run and get help.
If you scream, they might hear you in the distance. The reason why it took an hour is because there's a lot of twists and turns to navigate this particular countryside. But not everyone in the party can travel very well in the dark. So yeah. They might take more than an hour to get to you while not trying to be stealthy.
Okay, well that's my turn because there's no point in screaming because they won't hear. And they'll not get here in time because the round's 6 seconds. No, yeah.
South of the Husan Mountains, no one can hear you scream.
Yep.
Okay, so it's the ogre's turn. So, from its perspective, there is a puppy that bounced off of it that might be tasty. And there's this light streak that's slicing into it, which is not pleasant. I am going to just do a die roll to see which it dislikes more. It dislikes the light streak, which means Akari's not going to try to find my house and kill me in my sleep.
Accurate.
How's an 18 for you? Oh, no. No, that is a 22.
That definitely hits.
Okay. Actually, no. No, I did the two-hit modifier wrong. It's worse than that.
It still hits.
No, it hits harder. Ten points of damage.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, and let me check something here.
Don't have strike.
The blow from the club hits you on the shoulder, but it's not like a, oh, that's a designated good guy hit. You feel the hit straight through your chest to your other shoulder hurts from this. And both your lungs, and you think your heart stopped briefly.
I'm gonna die.
You also got spun around 360 degrees. You're still facing it. But you got to look behind you for a little while.
I'm gonna die.
You decided to sneak off after it.
You want to impress me?
My turn?
Nope. It's not.
Yeah.
Someone wants to impress somebody. A beam of light shoots out from behind you and hits the ogre in the face.
Meep.
Now it's your turn.
Okay.
Did that beam of light seem to hurt it?
It giggled when Shepard did like 15 points of damage to it.
Yeah.
I cast Hunter's Mark on him. And then I will like to I will like to back up 30 feet.
You can back up about 10.
That's fine. I'm guessing it doesn't attack.
If you traveled for an hour, you could back up like it wasn't difficult terrain. But you don't have an hour.
Right, then can I back up 10 feet?
Yes.
I'm still in his reach, aren't I?
He would have to use his movement to get to you, but he can't swing where he's standing and hit you.
Okay, I was just gonna, I'll take a shot with a bow.
Actually, you know what? I just realized something. So you backed up 10 feet?
Yeah, I was. That's why I was confused.
You trigger an attack of opportunity.
Yes, there we go.
Yep, but he rolls a 2.
That's fine. That definitely doesn't hit me.
Even with, well, it's a +6 to hit, so he actually rolls an 8.
Still doesn't hit me.
So, the rocks underneath your feet, or where your feet were as you were backpedaling, shatter, and you get sprayed with little bits from the hit as he does a huge overhand strike.
Okay.
It would have crushed your skull.
I take a shot with a bow. And that's a 22 to hit.
Yep.
Sharp bow, long bow plus Hunter's Mark. There we go. Now we're getting some damage out there. 6 plus 4 is 10 plus another 3 is 13 points of piercing damage. And Shepard's going for a bite. That's a try math. 17 to hit.
That is also a hit.
That is 9 points of piercing damage from Shepard.
Shepard rips out the thing's throat.
Ah, good luck, puppy.
It tries to giggle as Shepard attacks again, and its giggle just sort of turns into a gargly mess, and then it falls forward with a thump sound. You move a little bit from the reverberations going through the ground when this thing hits the ground.
That was unexpected. Can I turn around and see Toad shot the light?
It is very obviously Meepo. She's doing a little happy dance.
I was just double checking. I just pick her up and give her a back hug.
She hugs right back. You check your belt pouch afterwards. She did not actually take anything.
Okay, this is good.
For some reason, you felt compelled to check.
I do ask her, why did you follow me? Not that I'm not grateful, but why?
I wanted to see what the lights were.
Okay.
And Mr. Ari said to try the new spell.
I'm glad he's teaching you. There's still another one.
Another spell?
No, another big guy. And can I turn around and shoot an arrow at him?
You turn and you don't see anything. Except for a very large rock outcropping.
Can I try and sneak around?
You most certainly can.
That's a 14.
Well, as you go around the rock outcropping, you don't see anybody.
Can I see any tracks to see where he's went?
That would be a survival check.
Okay. That's a 13.
Ugh. Roll again.
Okay. That's a natural one.
You don't see anything. And you don't know why I told you to roll again. Metagaming, you know why I told you, but otherwise, no.
I check what's on the ogre that's dead.
It has a belt pouch with 3 gold in it.
Better than nothing.
It is also wearing an amulet.
Ooh.
It is basically a pottery shard that has a very familiar symbol painted on it.
Is it the symbol that we've been seeing on the kobolds and the gnolls?
Yes.
Okay. Ogres with same symbol as and the troll. Okay. I take the necklace and head back to the group with Meepo and Shepard.
All right. Obame is snoring.
Is anyone still awake?
Punk is probably sitting by the fire.
I sit down.
Ari's asleep.
I sit down next to Punk. If it's just Punk awake, I'll sit down next to Punk.
Hey.
Hey. Pull out another thing from the bag. Might as well have some protection while we're here. 3. A Mastiff. Bad. And I tell it the same thing. Patrol the area until dawn while we rest.
Give me an animal handling check.
Okay. Now I get good rolls. 23.
You are able to convince Shepard that now is not the time to play with the other doggy.
And I explain everything that just happened to Punk.
Oh, great.
While you're doing that, Meepo goes over to Fenix and curls up.
So you took her with you?
No, she followed. Ari's been showing her spells.
I didn't notice she was gone.
She did kind of save my life.
So is an ogre, like, from back home?
I don't know if there's ogres here, but...
Give me a history check at disadvantage.
Disadvantage? Okay.
Because this is about a world that you didn't grow up in.
3.
I don't know.
I have no idea if there are ogres from here. I don't know. But
ogres are coming and taking our jobs.
The ones we did know that came from...
I hate you so much.
Yep. They took our jobs!
I play this game to get away from politics in real life.
God. I was thinking South Park.
I was more thinking South Park, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking all right, everyone get in the Giants X file with my family.
So, although we don't know if they came from here or not, they did have this, and I show them the necklace with the same symbol that the troll had, and we know trolls aren't from here.
So if you think there was at least one other one?
I don't know how many there are.
Because that one's going to find out his friend is dead. He's either going to come looking for us or go tell other ones.
You saw more than two lights when you went off to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And the ogre wasn't carrying a torch.
I don't know how many there are, but at least the dog will...
Go deal with it in the daytime?
Yeah.
Or just hope they don't come after us, because they can follow your tracks back.
We need to rest for now, but I think we need to deal with it in the daytime. And at least for now, the dog will keep us relatively protected. It'll at least alert us if something shows up.
Nah, that's a good plan.
Which, this bag that Shepard brought me, just very handy.
I've been waiting for you to summon something like a squirrel.
Well, I can. No, I can't. Rat, owl, mastiff, goat, giant boar, lion, or brown bear. From the rust one.
A mighty rat will keep you safe in the night.
I hurt.
Yeah, ask Obama if he can, go wake up Obama, have him help you.
Nah, I'm fine. A long night's sleep will do me good.
Alright. Punk will probably stay up for a while and just kind of keep watch as well.
Okay. I totally forget the rules for regenerating hit points during a long rest.
Long rest, you just get everything back. Short rest, you have to spend hit die.
Okay. Well, you wake up feeling a little sore, but nothing that would affect game mechanics. Your armor, you know it took a beating with that one blow, but it doesn't appear to have any damage this morning.
Ow.
And your remaining day of travel to the Blast Radius Inn is uneventful. As you approach the Blast Radius Inn, just like before, the brewery comes into sight first. Run and managed by Tillery Gear Grinder.
Crazy gnome lady with relationship problems.
Well, not anymore.
Oh, she's gonna keep having them.
Maybe, maybe not. In any case, you see Tillery's distillery off in the distance. And you do notice that there's a few more contraptions that have been set up in the area. They appear to be long staves or spears shoved into the ground with various things attached to them. There's some moving gears. There's some glowing crystals. No two look exactly alike. And managing one of them with a clipboard, you happen to see Fiddle Punch.
Hey, Fenix, you might want to go buy some more of that,
I already know.
Can I just send Shepard to Fiddle Punch?
Should.
Okay, you send Shepard over to Fiddle Punch. Fiddle Punch sees Shepard, gives him a pat on the head. Shepard reacts exactly how Shepard always reacts when he's told he's a good boy.
Slobber damage.
With advantage.
Fiddle Punch's beard usually comes down to his waist. Now it's going up over his face and not coming back down again.
Gross.
He's attempting to pull it down, but it's not all coming down at once. He's dropped the clipboard.
That was nasty. Ugh.
And you have now caught up to Fiddle Punch.
We got your message.
It's we said we'd be back.
What's that?
We said we'd be back.
Yes, but you didn't exactly say how long it was going to take.
Well, in fairness...
As long as they take.
In fairness, we didn't expect to be knocked out and captured by a bunch of kobolds from another planet.
A bunch of who what now?
My point.
Oh, by the way, we ran into an ogre as well.
Yeah.
And a troll.
And gnolls.
Yeah.
Now that I've heard about ogres, can I inform them of whether or not ogres exist in this world?
They most certainly do. There are not many of them. They were used for grunt work by the Empire. Most of them that survived that period of time were taken in by the orc clans. That's who they tend to hang out with the most. But even then, orcs don't keep too many ogres around. The thing about ogres is you can tell them to guard an area, and they'll guard it really well, but they don't quite understand the difference between guard this from everyone, or guard this from everyone except me.
You two, keep him from leaving this room.
Right.
Where are you going? We're going with you.
And the castle falls over, burns down, and sinks into the swamp. Okay. But yes, ogres are native to this world, or so far as you knew, so far as natives are concerned.
Okay. One appearing is not surprising. Rare, but not surprising.
The fact that ogres exist is
least surprising.
That is the one anchor of stability in this entire conversation.
Ogres exist. Okay.
Trolls, moles, and furbox.
Kobolds.
Kobold, thank you. Not so much.
If we see Hogger, we're really in trouble.
Elwyn Forest was just a setback.
That was such a dumb rework.
No comment. Okay. So, Fiddle Punch appears to be to get his senses back again, recompose himself. His beard is mostly back the way it should be. There's one little clump of strands of beard that's still going up over hit one side of his nose that he hasn't noticed, but it's bothering everyone else that looks at him. He'll be bothered later when he realizes it, but he doesn't see it.
I'll just kind of motion toward you. You got something on your face.
He motions to the opposite side of his face and tries to push something.
The other side. The other side.
Oh, okay, he gets it back into place.
There you go.
He thanks you profusely for that. In any case, I haven't been wasting my time while I've been waiting for you. I've been taking readings of the area and the local energies and arcane fluctuations. And take a look at these numbers. These are really fantastic. He shows you a chart.
Can you explain this in common, please?
Ari will try to look over the chart.
He tries to explain it in common. Give me a straight up intelligence check.
Oh God, okay. Two.
You're certain that he's using words that exist in common?
10.
You know they string together to form sentences. You can identify nouns and verbs.
Ari got a 22.
Ari, you have no idea why everyone else is looking confused. This is so plainly obvious. It appears that these fluctuations are caused because somewhere south of here was a nexus of ley lines. And
that could be good.
What these devices that have been set up in the area, and they're just spaced apart so that they can triangulate things a bit better. It's not so much where they're placed as how far away they're placed. It seems like there's still some residual energies, and it's almost as if it's starting back up again. Where there was a big blast, and he was watching it steadily progress down, like, okay, there's been this aftermath, but now the energies are building back up again, like it's going to happen again.
Now, the last time this happened is when our...
when Husan went away.
Right. So something else big is coming, or going to happen again.
Yes. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's the energies are increasing, but as you can see from this chart here, the rate at which they're increasing, if we're going to have something as momentous as an entire settlement disappearing, that's not going to happen for another season or two. If it's a more localized thing, like, say, an aftershock, if you will, then something might be happening very soon.
Do we know where? Have you pinpointed where this might be happening?
And do we know why?
If my maps are accurate, in the middle of Husan again.
I'm more inclined to believe the aftershock theory, but we need to warn Husan that something might happen.
Husan's already gone.
Oh. Wait, I thought the dwarf... Oh, never mind, it was Orstrike. Okay, sorry, my bad.
Oh, no, wait, I'm so confused with these two towns, because which one's to the north?
Sorry, Husan is to the north. That's not where... If I said Husan, it was my mistake. Husan's to the north. What's on second?
What's on to the south? So it's what's on that's disappeared, and it's what's on we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
I was confused because I was like, wait a minute. I thought Husan was where all the dwarves were that they kicked us out.
That was my mistake. What's on is where is seems to be the epicenter of this. And Fiddle Punch can't tell you if something's going to arrive, if something's going to leave again, if it's just going to be a door that opens, but whatever happened is about to happen again, sort of.
What about in the third place, then? It seems like it's going in order.
Well, Husan didn't have any arcane happenings. The reason why Fiddle Punch wanted to come here was not to do with Husan, it was with Watson.
Yeah, but I'm just going barbarian thought. Like, what about the next place, third, if you're going first, second, third? Never mind.
Idano is a city that's over to the east, but none of the cities are pointing in that direction.
I'm just trying to use some logic.
No, I hate Crash for the names.
I already made the map. It's got all those town names on it.
Yeah. You're the worst. What's on? Idano. I got the map open.
I just can't wait to see what Abbott and Costello are going to look like. I'm guessing a dwarf and an elf.
Worst thing is, I only know what you're talking about because of a World of Warcraft skit that Warp Zone did.
You need to go back and watch the original.
YouTube is your friend.
From Abbott and Costello.
You can't really appreciate it until you've watched it in the original Klingon.
Yeah.
Pass on the Klingon.
So we need to go to Watson.
That is the whole purpose of this journey, yes.
Okay,
I'm glad you finally reached this decision.
You know what? You're an angry little gnome and it's not necessary.
Yes, I am an angry little gnome. You have left me here to my own devices by myself with an orc innkeeper who is very nice, and I'm very pleased to make his acquaintance. But also another gnome that is like three times younger than me and perhaps a bit impetuous.
Oh, she's nuts as well. She's like absolutely nuts.
I would think she'd keep you busy.
Giggity.
Is she pretending pursuit?
She is not exactly my type, if you can put it that way.
And she's pursuing it. She has amorous intent, I'm gathering.
No. No, there has been no romantic inclination from either party, I can tell you that. But even if there was...
She's not your type.
It's...
complicated?
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Know what you mean.
She has a wide variety of materials at her disposal, but I am looking for a being with different equipment.
We got it. We got it.
Message received and noted. Yes.
All right.
Why did you have this? Okay.
Hello there.
Well, explain when you're older, Logan.
No, I already know what was
going on. I know, I was teasing.
Now we know why she's annoying him.
Yes.
No. It's she's annoying him because she's annoying.
Yeah.
Also, gnomes have a habit of not getting along in this particular world.
No. All right. All right, well, once he's done complaining, let's just... Are we at a good stopping point?
I think this could be a good stopping point, yes. We've been recording for a little over 2 hours.
Yeah.